You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good evening, everybody. Great to see you tonight. And if I've not met you before, my name's Rachel. I'm part of the team here, and it's my privilege to be speaking this evening. So for those of you who've been around, you'll know we've been in a sermon series on parables for the past few weeks. They've been great. So if you've not been around, I do encourage you to catch up on any you've missed on our podcast or online. Tonight, we are going to be looking at the parable of the wedding banquet. So hopefully, all of us here at some point in our lives will have experienced the feeling of receiving an invitation. Who's ever been invited to something? I hope it's everybody. I hope you've all had at least one invitation in your lives, perhaps to a wedding, a party, or a special event. Now, the power of invitation lies in its ability to open doors, builds connections, and creates a sense of belonging. It carries a message of value. It tells somebody that their presence matters and that they're wanted. It can transform isolation into inclusion, hesitation into courage, and potential into participation. It's why, as a church, we are always encouraging each other to invite those we know to join us at church, Alpha, to our Christmas services. Perhaps you're here this evening even because somebody invited you along. So to set the scene tonight for our parable, imagine being invited to a royal wedding. The king's own son, not just any wedding. You'd never turn that down, right? But in Jesus's parable, that's exactly what happens. So we're going to open our Bibles together if you have them with you. It's also going to come up on the screen behind me. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. Now Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man was there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told his attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" So before we explore this parable in more depth, as with all scripture, it's important to look at the context in which Jesus told it. This parable appears in the Gospel of Matthew in the final week of Jesus' life after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which is told in chapter 1, the chapter before. This is when huge crowds gather to welcome Jesus as he enters Jerusalem riding a donkey. They down their cloaks, they throw their cloaks on the road and wave palm branches as they shout, "Hosanna," meaning save us. However, not everyone extends a welcome to Jesus. Jesus is now teaching in the temple, confronting the religious leaders who reject his authority. it follows two other parables with a similar theme, the parable of the two sons and the parable of the wicked tenants, which together form a trilogy of judgment on Israel's leaders for rejecting God's messengers and ultimately his son Jesus. An acceptance or rejection of the king's invitation to come to his son's banquet, representing God's invitation to first of all the Jews and then to all to enter the kingdom of heaven, is the main theme of this parable. So let's start off by looking at the king's invitation. So Jesus opens this parable with a beautiful picture of joy, generosity, and celebration. It says in verse 2, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." Now, the king here represents God the Father and the Son Jesus, and the wedding banquet symbolizes the divine invitation to share in God's joy, the celebration of salvation through his Son Jesus, and to fellowship and feasting with him forever. And the king sends out wedding invitations, not just for any event, but for the wedding of his son. It's a royal feast. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And notice what the king does in this parable. He sends out servants to invite people. You know, we see here God's grace in action. He initiates. He invites. He comes to us rather than us to him, as we often think. And he sends out invitations not just once, but multiple times. The king's heart is generous. He wants people there. He's not stingy or selective. He's gracious. Notice as well that God's invitation isn't cold or obligatory. It's a celebration of love and joy, not rules and religion. He leaves a choice to respond with the people who are invited. The parable also demonstrates the patience and persistence of God. We see the king giving people chance after chance. And the story of the Bible, in one sense, can be summed up as God repeatedly calling and inviting people to himself, inviting them home. And his invitation still goes out today through the message of the gospel. The king is still calling, "Come to my banquet, come to my kingdom." 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Now, we can look at the news today and all the awful things happening in the world and wonder why Jesus doesn't return for his kingdom to come in its fullness on earth as it is in heaven. And my sense is that part of the answer is in this verse. That God, like the king in this parable, is still persistently and patiently inviting people into his kingdom, longing for them to know Jesus and his salvation. Now, I know that many of you here have accepted this invitation, but there may be people here who haven't. Perhaps you are hearing it for the first time. Or perhaps you've been hearing it for many years through your family, church, or friends. Know tonight that he is still inviting you, waiting for you to respond. Jesus describes a mixture of responses to the king's invitation. Some ignore it, some refuse it, others accept it with joy. Let's take a closer look at this. Now, the first tragedy of this parable is that the invited guests say no. Jesus tells us in verse 3, he sent his servants to those who had been invited, but they refused to come. Now, to be invited to a wedding banquet was a big deal and a huge honor. Weddings were lavish celebrations that often lasted several days. But like we've said already, this wasn't any wedding banquet. It was the king's banquet for his son. Imagine that, the greatest event in the kingdom. And people refused to come. The king, showing incredible grace and patience, then sends another message to those he invited to say, "Everything is ready. The best oxen and the fattened calf have been prepared. Come and feast." But the invited people still refuse this invitation of all invitations. And there are two main rejection responses to the invitation. Verse 5 tells us that the first group paid no attention and went off, one to his field and another to his business. Some people had other priorities. They weren't necessarily bad people, they were just busy. The parable doesn't imply that this group hated the king. They just didn't care enough to come. Their fields, their jobs, they all seemed more important than the king's invitation. They're indifferent to it. They're too distracted and preoccupied with their own lives. And so a royal invitation is disregarded like a piece of junk mail. And isn't it interesting that in our world today, many miss or reject the invitation of the gospel for the very same reasons we find here. They're too busy, too distracted or indifferent rather than openly hostile. Their business, their hobbies, their routines crowd out the invitation of heaven to them. But even for those of us who know Jesus, there's an application here. How often do we let the noise of life today drown out God's call and invitation to us? We're just finishing the summer series on the Holy Spirit, and we were talking about how the Holy Spirit is always speaking. God is always speaking to us through his Spirit. How often do we let the noise of life drown out God's call and invitation to us? Indifference hardens the heart, you see. It makes spiritual things seem unimportant or irrelevant. The seemingly inexhaustible forms of distraction, entertainment, social media, work, money, comfort, keeps the mind constantly occupied. Busyness, so often worn as a badge of honour in today's culture, fills schedules so completely that there's no time to consider matters of eternal significance. And in all these ways, the same tragic pattern repeats. God's gracious invitation goes out, but many are too preoccupied to respond. So let's ensure that we don't become too busy for God, or so caught up in our own fields and businesses that we neglect the call of the king. As in the parable, the danger isn't usually open rebellion. It's quiet distraction. The enemy doesn't need to destroy your faith. He just needs to distract it. Now, there's another group in this parable who receive the king's invitation and are openly hostile. Jesus says this of them in verse 6. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Now, this group of people do respond violently, mocking and killing the king's messengers. And Jesus is, of course, on one level referring to what happened to the prophets and to what would also happen to himself just a few days later. But sadly, this sort of violent hostility for those who follow Jesus is still increasing around the world today. You know, John referenced Iran and China this morning. And it's important that we keep those being persecuted for their faith in our prayers. In the last few days, I've read of how Christians in Mozambique are facing unimaginable trauma just now. Christians in Nigeria too. And if you want to find out more about what rarely makes our national news and how to pray for the persecuted church, I'd really recommend following organisations such as Open Doors, which is the charity that supports those willing to follow Jesus no matter the cost. And in response to this, Jesus says something sobering. In response to how the king's servants are treated, verse 7 says, the king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Now, this verse can come as a bit of a surprise, can't it? We're thinking, is this the same king who we said was loving and merciful? And still today, a lot of people struggle to reconcile God's love and God's judgment. But we need to remember that he is also a God of justice. His justice flows out of his love. Therefore, evil needs to be dealt with. The king responds with judgment, not because he's cruel, but because he's just. the invited guests by mocking and killing the king's servants show contempt not merely for the invitation, but for the giver himself, an open rejection of his grace. The king isn't acting out of vengeance, but out of justice. He's a holy God who can't be indifferent to evil. Remember, however, before this, how the king extends his invitation multiple times, even after initial rejection. His longing is for presence and participation, not for punishment. And we live knowing, like the people who listened to Jesus' parable originally, the price that Jesus paid, the price that the king's own son paid for our sin. And we live with assurance and hope that Jesus has paid that price, and that one day he will return and everything wrong will be made right in the end. All evil will be dealt with and God will bring justice. Now maybe you're here tonight and there are things that have happened to you in your story where it feels like people have just got away with stuff. Some of you have been through some really tough times, I know. And you need to know that God, at the end of all things, will make everything right. He's not indifferent to evil. He's the God of justice. We see the generous, gracious, and merciful heart of the king again in verses 8 to 11 that follows. He now opens his invitation to all. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now Jesus was here prophetically pointing to salvation being for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews that accept him as Messiah. And the beauty of the gospel is that it's for everyone. The invitation goes beyond boundaries, beyond reputation, beyond worthiness. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel unworthy, like your past disqualifies you from God's table. It doesn't. He longs for you to be there. In this parable, it's the people from the streets, those who've been labelled or have perhaps labelled themselves bad or good, who fill the banqueting hall. And notice that the banqueting hall is full. And this is the story we are now living in. The gospel going out to all people groups and nations. It's the story of grace expanding to include you and I. Notice that Jesus emphasizes that the wedding hall was filled with guests. We've looked at those who reject the king's invitation, but the good news is that in our day and in our time, we are seeing a huge increase in those exploring and coming to faith. Again, John was speaking more on this morning. If you weren't here, I do encourage you to catch up on that. There's a not so quiet revival happening. And in one of my Bible readings this week, Jill Weber from 24/7 Prayer quoted the following statistics from that Quiet Revival report. 31% of non-churchgoers say they would attend church if invited by a friend or family member, rising to 34% among 18 to 24-year-olds. Over half of non-churchgoers would be happy for a Christian friend to pray for them. Over a fifth of non-church-going 18 to 34-year-olds say they would read the Bible if recommended by a family member or a friend they trust. Now notice the power of invitation again in the quote above. Many are not responding with indifference and even less with hostility, but with great interest. Church, let's make use of every opportunity at this time as we share the king's invitation, especially to those on the margins of society who are so often overlooked. Everyone is invited and the feast is prepared. However, there is one qualification Jesus now shares. We must wear the right clothes. So we're going to close this evening by considering that question, are you wearing the right clothes? And Jesus says in verses 11 and 12, "But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed that there was a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. So this man came to the feast, but he didn't put on the proper clothes or the wedding garment, as it's referred to in some translations. Now, what does this mean? Sounds a bit strange to us, doesn't it? Now, in that culture, the host often provided the wedding garment. It was part of the hospitality. So this man's lack of proper clothing wasn't about poverty. It was about disrespect. He wanted the benefits of the banquet without honouring the king's provision. Spiritually, the wedding garment represents salvation, repentance, and new life in Christ, being clothed in Christ's righteousness. Galatians 3:26 and 27 says this: "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." It's not about our outward appearance, but the inward transformation that happens when we accept that we can only be saved because of what Jesus has done for us. That it's by grace we have been saved, the free, unmerited gift of God given to us in Jesus, not because of anything that we have done, so that no one can boast. And Josh expanded on this much more in his sermon last Sunday evening, so do catch up on that if you missed it. This man had tried to enter the banquet on his own terms, wearing his own clothes. He'd accepted the invitation, but he hadn't prepared his heart for the king. His presence without proper attire shows a superficial response, attending the feast but refusing transformation. And Jesus is emphasizing that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven on their own terms, but only through the righteousness of Jesus, clothed in his salvation. So how does this apply to us? Well, I would argue that it's not enough simply to show up at church or just to say the right words. We must come to God on his terms, clothed in faith, repentance, surrender. A wholehearted response, not a superficial one. The man was near, but that didn't help. Being near the gospel doesn't save you. Coming to church every week doesn't save you. Hearing the gospel isn't the same as accepting it. Wearing the wedding clothes, being united with Christ, does. Now, Jesus closes the parable with a statement that ties it all together. In verse 14, he says, "For many are invited, but few are chosen." The call goes out to many. The invitation is open and generous, but it demands a response. The chosen are those who respond rightly, who not only accept the invitation, but come clothed in Christ. God has prepared a banquet, a feast, a celebration of salvation, joy, and eternal life in his kingdom. He sent out the invitations through scripture, through his son, through his spirit, and he's asking, he's still asking today, will you come? And maybe you've never heard this invitation before. You've come along with a friend or family member this evening, and this is the first time you've heard the king's call. It's never too soon to respond. Maybe you're here and you know the invitation, but you've perhaps just set it to one side for many years, and the invitation is for you tonight. Maybe you're here and you've been distracted by the fields and the business, the busyness of life, and want to recommit to following Jesus wholeheartedly. And maybe you've come to the feast wanting to be near, but you know that you've not yet put that garment of faith on, clothed in Jesus' righteousness because of what he has done. So tonight, I just want to end saying the king is still calling. He's still inviting. The door is still open. And so today, if you hear his voice, I would just encourage you to respond. Come to the table and enjoy the greatest feast imaginable.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.